Rod's Pulse Podcast number 67. The Caffeination Podcast Interview and Stress.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
Coffee with my breakfast, and on the way to work, I like to get a cup of coffee, like the kind of cup of coffee that you get with the donuts. If I never get the donut, I just have the cup of coffee. And when I get to work, I like to have a cup of coffee, because I like to have coffee when I'm talking on the phone. It usually goes cold, and I need to get another cup of coffee, and it's lunch, and I have an espresso.
That's a little clip from a song called Stress by Jim Infantino of the band Jim's Big Ego. I think it's very apropos to my podcast today when I interview the podcaster behind the Caffeination podcast, Paul Muller. So stay tuned at the end of my podcast when I'll play the full song. I think you'll get a kick out of it. A song called Stress. In fact, I have a link to a flash animation that the songwriter Jim did, which is also pretty darn cute. So I have a link to that on my show notes as well. Before I get to my main topic today, I just wanted to clue you into a couple of websites which talk about free podcasts for students of any stripe, faculty as well, I'm sure, just to get an idea of how educational podcasts are put together. One is a link I found on a website called Learn Out Loud. They have a listing of the top 12 free university podcasts. As you might guess, they list podcasts from Stanford, UC Berkeley, and also from Duke. The topics range all over the map from quantum mechanics to geography to literature, general biology. So if you click on the links, you'll get into the university podcast. Now, these are offered up free, I think primarily as a way to market the universities. As they say on the site, the podcast should appeal to traditional students, distance learners, and anyone who wants to study on the go. Now that, it turns out, is a subset of podcasts that were listed on the online education database. I also have a link to their article where they say, Skip to Tuition, 100 free podcasts from the best colleges in the world. So I have links to both of those on my podcast. Please check them out. Now for my main topic today, I have an interview with Paul R.J. Muller, who's a podcaster and technologist. He runs a podcast called Temple Tech Tips as a part of his day job at Temple University. And he also has developed a podcast called the Caffeination Podcast, where he talks about caffeine culture, technology news, and podcasting tips. So it's very relevant, I think, to my audience. I think you'll learn a lot, and I've listed links to, six or seven different things that we talked about. Without further ado, here's my interview with Paul R.J. Muller. Paul, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to my audience and my podcast. I found out about you through a colleague at Temple University who mentioned that you were doing a presentation on podcasting for the faculty there. Could you tell me a little bit about your day job and your background, what you do at Temple?
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show. During my day job, I actually work as the IT support consultant for the architecture department at Temple University. Pretty much everything with electricity is under my purview in the department, except the shop stuff, which is good. But in the realm of podcasting, since I've been doing my own show for over 2 years, I've been working with the people over at the Instructional Support Center, and we've been trying to both get tutorials and different packaged episodes up online and into iTunes U as a way to push the content out to students in a recognizable form. And we've also started giving the different lectures on, first of all, finding podcasts and what they are, kind of trying to educate the professors so that they weren't as afraid of the technology or as curious about the technology. They kind of knew what they were talking about. And there's probably going to be more of them in the future. And all that's, again, going to be available on iTunes U. We're working on a couple different series that we're actually doing. The one is called TU Building Blocks. where we do a short 1 minute or 1.5 minute introduction to each one of the buildings on campus. We're working on all the back end stuff with that. Another one is I do Temple Tech Tips, which is a 3 to 5 minute tip on how to use your computer more effectively. So it deals a lot with like the fine points of graphic file manipulation and stuff like that. And we're trying to expand further beyond that. So,
tell me a little bit about your Caffeination podcast. I've listened to some, but my audience might be curious what you cover. It seems like you really run the gamut.
Yeah, I find that I'm not really able to focus very much on certain things when it comes to things that I really love and really enjoy. And two of the most, I guess, important things that I really enjoy in life, besides my family and everything like that, is that I really love technology, gadgets, shiny things like that. And I also really love coffee. So I kind of melded them into one thing because I know a lot of other people like yourself really do enjoy coffee and caffeine culture in general. And kind of melding the two always seemed to work, at least in my personal life. So it's, so far it's worked on the podcast.
That's great. Can you tell me a little bit about your podcasting setup, because my listeners are, I think, interested in perhaps doing their own podcast. And I was curious how you go about recording your podcast, how you do interviews, if you do them. You know, what's your hardware and setup like and software?
Okay, I'm just starting to get into interviews because for the longest time I kind of shied away from them. I had done some interviews for other things earlier on, more audio, like just freeform audio, and I hadn't really liked how it turned out, and I didn't like editing people down because I always felt like everything that somebody would have said would have been meaningful, but I understand more now that, you know, editing things down is probably a much better way for people to get the true gist of what the conversation was. With my podcasting setup, I actually really lucked out since Temple allowed me to pick my podcasting setup. I got to replicate my home setup at work, so I don't have to learn any new equipment.
That's good.
Yeah, so currently I'm talking to you on Samsung C01 Studio Condenser mic. And it's getting pumped through a Samsung MDR-624 mixer. All that goes into the sound card, and then I have and it's just like the standard sound card that comes on anybody's computer. I think this one's a Sound Blaster. Then everything just gets piped back, so anything that we would say gets put into the line-in side right next to the mic input, and then it all gets looped back into the microphone side. So if I wanted to record something, it would be one long strand. That's pretty much how I do my show at home, but I also use this really fantastic software to do talk beds. I don't know if you use one on your podcast.
No, tell us about that.
All right. One of my friends was really big into college radio and really, you know, helped me out early on in my podcast. And he said that, you know, your voice is fine. Everything you're doing is fine. And I really didn't start out with the setup that I have now. I started out with a $20 USB microphone with a little piece of foam wrapped around it because I have a tendency to puff my peas, mm-hmm. which you know what that sounds like. So I use Audacity to record everything because I'm all about the low cost.
I started out with a very cheap, you know, Radio Shack microphone and going right into Audacity. I upgraded my microphones, and for the first time, actually this is the second podcast now, I'm using something called the Zoom Handy Recorder. After recording a podcast where my Windows machine totally corrupted my audio file, I decided I wasn't going to go that route anymore. So this is recording directly into an SD memory card, so hopefully it's all solid state and I won't have that particular problem again.
I actually have one of those, the HR4.
Yes.
And I really like it.
Yeah, it seems like that company makes some pretty good products. In fact, the other microphone I had been using was a Samsung USB condenser mic, which pretty nice because it's got the powered by the USB port and the preamp and everything is built into the mic. So I don't want to get too technical for my audience. Do you have any particular philosophy about using podcasts and education that you've been trying to promote? Anything you can tell me about the use of podcasting in the educational environment?
Yeah, we've been doing a couple different things. The first thing is we have a lot of professors that have done tutorials and things, and they've just put the videos kind of orphaned online, And they said, okay, you know, we're just going to put like one giant directory of them. And I've kind of convinced them, and we're slowly converting them into actually, you know, deliverable content via RSS. So they really like the fact that they really don't need to do much else. You know, they've already done the work and created the content, so we can just push that out to students, and it's very easy for them all to get it because they're used to using iTunes, or they're used to using, you know, whatever software we can put in front of them. And if they ever build it into a Windows Media Player, it'll be really fantastic. We're also trying to do things that are kind of not necessarily cut and dry, like, you know, doing tutorials or doing pre-programmed episodes. We have lecture series that come in to the architecture program, and that's one of the things that we're actually planning on trying to record and then edit down after the fact and push them out so that people who couldn't attend the conference or whatnot would be able to see it and experience it and, you know, spread the knowledge beyond the walls of the room. In the university as a whole, we're slowly building our content within iTunes U, and we're pushing class capture systems. Mm-hmm. Some of the departments actually capture the entirety of the class unedited, and it gets put right into to a system called Appraiso, and then it goes right up to iTunes. So we're working on that system still, but it's really interesting.
Yeah, at Thomas Jefferson University, we started using Appraiso about a year ago, and the students seem to really, really love it. Contrary to popular belief, hasn't reduced the attendance at lectures.
Just going to say that's the first question I get asked whenever we talk about recording things, and we haven't seen it either.
If anything, if I was a student, I'd feel more comfortable about, you know, just sitting and not bothering about taking notes and just listening to the professor, or, you know, knowing that if I happen to miss a class, I can certainly pick it up later. Have you thought about doing any video podcasting, or is that, I know I tell my audience that's, to me, it's about an order of magnitude more difficult and expensive, but what's your view on that?
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you. I mean, we already have a camera at my house that I could theoretically use. It's just the amount of time that it would take to get the video off the camera and up and to my specifications. You know, like I don't want to just push, you know, cell phone video out to people. I would want it to be something that they would be able to use, you know, readily, and it would be nice and good and crisp and all that. And all that's expensive every time you add an adjective.
In fact, I like to point out where they did a study, and they took a course that was particularly visual, a lot of visual imagery, and they made it available to students in multiple formats, including, you know, video, podcast, and audio. And the students prefer the audio because presumably they've seen the lecture, but you know, you can't watch a video podcast when you're driving or working out. So audio is still by far the most popular format.
Yeah, it's pretty much what we've seen here. I mean, I did a couple live shows on my personal podcast where we used Ustream, and the viewership at the time and after the fact was all right. I mean, a couple people watched it both during the time and fed in, but most of the time, people just really want the audio that, you know, you could just be as flowery in your descriptions as possible of things, and they're fine not seeing the exactly what's on the screen. The only time I've ever seen anybody really prefer the video stuff is when they're doing like tutorials or something where they're being directed to touching different menus or things like that, things where you need to know exactly where items are.
It looks like you're trying to monetize your podcast, which is great, and I would certainly like to do the same. I wonder if you could give any tips to budding podcasters out there in terms of can you really make money doing a podcast?
When I wanted to monetize my podcast, I had a very firm goal in mind, and I think that really helps with how you're trying to figure out to do things. But my firm goal was that I wanted the podcast to be able to at first sustain itself. You know, so that way, like, hosting fees and equipment costs and things like that would be taken care of through the podcast. And I've gotten to that level and a little bit beyond. And that's really nice. The easiest way and the easiest quick tips to monetize your podcast are you need to add a little angel dust. That's what I've been working on with some of the I'm actually working on a presentation to give at PodCamp Philly, but one of the things I say is you need the PC and the P. You need the punctuality, commitment, passion's the last one. It's punctuality means if you set a schedule that you do your episodes on, you need to make sure that you stick to it. So that way people know that, you know, for instance, I record on Sunday and Wednesday nights. I've done so through 90% of the time of my podcast. So the biggest times when my website gets hit are Monday morning and Thursday morning. So I understand that, you know, that's the time when if I'm going to do upgrades, I don't do it then. And the commitment is you have to make sure that everybody knows that you're going to be doing it. You're going to have the same level of quality, the same level of content. And you also means that you commit to whether or not you're a family safe show or not. You don't vacillate between the two of them, because the one thing that really helped me, and I monetize my show through Blueberry and the Tech Podcast Network. Tech Podcast is all family safe, and believe it or not, I've actually found it more liberating to make sure that my show is that way, and it's much more consistent, and people know what to expect when they load my show. And it really helps to just have like a certain set of guidelines, even though you can theoretically do anything with podcasting. Mm-hmm. So if you lay down some groundwork, you know, it really helps out. And then the last P is passion. And if you really love your topic and you talk about it in those kind of ways, and you don't let anybody else tell you, because you're going to get criticized. If you don't let anybody else come in and tell you after the fact that you know, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, as long as it's not factual, as long as it's coming from your heart, there shouldn't be a problem with it. And people really tend to gravitate towards you know, sincerity.
You mentioned Podcast Philly. Is there one coming up?
I'm actually trying to get PodCamp Philly. I'm working with some of the organizers of the other PodCamps, and I'm working with Whitney Hoffman to try and, you know, nail down the date and the location. I went last year, and it was really fantastic. And I got to say that in that one weekend, I gained more listeners, I gained more knowledge, and I gained more experience within the realm of podcasting that I have in probably the other 2 years that I've been doing my show.
I think there was a PodCamp Philly, last September?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I was only able to spend a half a day there because I had commitments, but I since went to PodCamp EDU, was in D.C., and there's another PodCamp D.C. coming up next week, I believe. So yeah. They call it the Unconference. Can you explain to my listeners what it's all about?
Sure. PodCamps in general are considered, like they said, you said, the unconference. So everything's ruled by the law of 2 feet. So if you don't like a session, you can walk out. Up until recently, everything was free. They've thought about charging. I don't know if any of the ones are yet. Like, each one's an individual entity. So, for instance, PodCamp New York, which is April 24th through 25th, that area, and PodCamp DC is next weekend, the weekend of the 19th and 20th. I know that, you know, I don't know if either one of them, you know, is charged to go to, but the idea behind them is that, you know, anyone can present. There are no rock stars. Everybody is a superstar in the eyes of a PodCamp. So even though the people are up there presenting, they're still going to the conference. And if you see an open slot, you can register to present on anything you want in the realm of podcasting, and even sometimes just a little bit outside. And it's really a great networking event at the one end, because you do meet a lot of like-minded individuals. I did want to tell you one more thing. Sure. One piece of software that I was telling you about that I used to run the talk beds and everything, because my friend was in radio. He said that every once in a while somebody might get bored with your voice. So if you play a music just barely audible under what you're saying, some people don't like it, but some people do. And it tends to keep the ears interested. And it gives the people more to pay attention to. And the software that I use is actually free. It's called Jazzler Pro. And it's like a radio-style cart system. So you can load sound effects and click on them or line them up to just play in succession. It's really neat.
Okay, that's interesting. I'll make a link to that in my show notes. I use something called Cast Blaster, which came out of Adam Curry's stable of projects and programmers. And it does a similar sort of thing. You can... He does his podcast almost like a live radio show, and so you can mix, you know, pre-recorded clips in with a live microphone, and it packages everything up and takes care of all the tagging for iTunes and so on. Yeah, it's only $50, which is nice, and you can load it on 3 different machines.
I didn't know that they had 3 licenses with it. That's cool. Is it out of beta officially, or?
Good question.
When I looked at it, it was still in beta, and I was just curious if it had come out. That's all.
You know, they were coming out with new versions almost every other day. So I have an upgrade at mine now for, gosh, maybe 6 months. So it's been very stable.
Yeah, that's what you want to kind of work for. If it works, don't touch it.
That's right. Why, we're just about getting to the end of our time. I wanted to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today. I like your topics. You certainly run the gamut. If any of my audience are out there thinking about doing a little side podcast, you know, listen to the Caffeination podcast. I'll have a link on my show notes. And thanks again. I hope to hear more from you.
Oh, thank you very much, Rob.
So I hope you enjoyed the interview. Please check out the Caffeination podcast. There's a link on my show notes. And don't forget to stay tuned for the full song called Stress by Jim's Big Ego. Till next time, have a great week.
Please leave odd feedback at 610-616-2199.
Stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long and I hang around like a bum. I think I'm going nowhere and that makes me nervous. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you when you weren't paying attention. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you when you weren't paying attention. Trying to cut down on my caffeine consumption. So when I get up, I just have one cup of coffee, and I like to have another cup of coffee with my breakfast. And on the way to work, I like to get a cup of coffee, like the kind of cup of coffee that you get with the donuts. If I never get the donut, I just have the cup of coffee. And when I get to work, I like to have a cup of coffee, because I like to have a coffee when I'm talking on the phone. It usually goes cold, and I need to get another cup of coffee, and it's lunch, and I have an espresso. It's not morning anymore, so I have a Diet Cola and another Diet Cola. But then I'm feeling fine, and I'm feeling pretty sharp, and I'm feeling pretty wired, and I'm getting things done. But right about 2, I get this little tiny migraine. It starts by my eyes, and it moves to the back of my neck, and it moves to the bottom of my spine. But it doesn't get there till 5 or 6 o'clock, which is the end of the day. So I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine. Except when I have to work late, when I have to work late, which I usually do. Addicted to stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long, and I hang around like a bum. And I think I'm going nowhere, and that makes me nervous. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me. Hey, how you doing? Looking good. You been working out? Yeah, I can tell. Alright, see you later. Play real hard. I love to steal little things from the grocery store, like a piece of bubble gum, or sometimes I just stick my thumb in a peach and leave it there. I love to work, I love to run, I love to water ski, snowboard, jet ski, skydive, parasail, hang glide, rollerblade, mountain bike, bungee jump. Well, I mean, I'd love to do these things if I ever had the time. I love to work, I love to work, I love to work out after work. I love to spend a little time with this one I'm seeing, except we never really get all time to spend together, so we call each other up and we talk about work. But what I think I really love is to get up on myself on a little tiny island in the middle of the ocean with just me and a book and a cellular phone and a personal computer in case something came up. And I'd eat, and I'd drink, and I'd run, and I'd sleep, and I wouldn't do nothing except swim all day. So, you know, my beeper doesn't work underwater. Where are the sharks? Where are the sharks? Where are the sharks? And there's this kind of anemone that sticks in your foot, and the poison goes up to your brain, and you die. And say it, please. Say it, please. Actually, I think it'd be really relaxing. Just me by myself in the middle of the ocean. And that's what I really love to do more than anything else. Except I probably hate it. Addicted to stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long. And I hang around like a bum. I think I'm going nowhere and that makes me nervous. Everybody's out there giving me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out there giving me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out there giving me, but I feel alright.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.